We're continuing with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch laws of Kashrut. What happens if two pieces touch one another? This is something that happens sometimes. You're cutting meat in the kitchen. You have cheese next to it. Even though we try not to have on the same table meat and cheese or not in the same counter, but this is something that can happen. So here, if both are hot and they're touching, meaning one is not on top of the other, it's very rare that you'd put cheese on hot meat or meat on hot cheese. It's only if that would fall. But when two things touch, that can happen, that you have two things touch. So we assume that if they were both hot, we assume that the flavor went in from one another. We don't eat either one. However, if, again, this is where this might happen, if you have a big slab of meat, that I'll give you an example of where this could happen. We make cream cheese at home. It's very simple. You take a cheesecloth or a sock, a stocking, you put in certain cheeses and spices and salt and whatever, and you let it hang overnight, and you have cream cheese. So cream cheese is very expensive in the store, but if you make it at home, you get good cream cheese very cheaply. Okay, so you have this cheese hanging. Now what happens if so the cheese isn't hot in this instance, but you have boiling hot meat in a pot, right? So sometimes you'll pour out your chillens, you'll pour out your chicken soup. You could have situations where things splatter, right? So in this case, we're talking about a situation where they touched. So let's say you had a big chunk of meat you want to cut up, and your child comes over and says, "What's that, Mom?" And he smacks his hand onto the meat, and he's got some cottage cheese. He's been eating noodles with cottage cheese, and he put some cottage cheese on the meat. So now you have hot meat with cheese on it. So if I have 60 times the volume of the cottage cheese, so then we come into what we said last time, where I would take off a kedei klipa, 2 centimeters, and the rest I could assume is okay. What happens if they're both hot and one is 60 times the volume of the other? So then again, we just take off 2 centimeters, etc. The cheese is obviously, it doesn't have 60 times the volume, it becomes prohibited. What happens if I have cold and hot touching one another? So I have cold cheese, I have a hot slab of meat. I have pizza, and I have cold meat. So then our assumption here is like this, that the thing that was cold absorbed from something hot through and through, because the hot gave over its flavor into the cold. The thing that was hot, we say, how much did it absorb? Only a little bit from the cold. So in our scenario, if I'm carrying a hot slab of meat and by mistake I touch the cheesecloth, right? So some liquid cheese comes out and touches the meat. So then all of that cheese is prohibited once the hot meat touched it. However, on the meat, I would peel off, like we said, 2 centimeters, and the rest would be permissible. What happens if you say, hey, that cheese is very expensive for meat? So then you'd ask a local Orthodox rabbi. There's room to talk. So that brings us to the second chapter, which will discuss this situation like this. You're making schnitzel in your frying pan. You want to pour oil onto your schnitzel. Can you pour directly? You heat it up, your meat frying pan. Okay, so now we're going to deal with the scenario where I have a vessel that's boiling hot. Remember, we said tato gavar, the lower one overpowers the upper one. So if the lower one is hot and the upper one is cold, so the lower one wins. So you heat up a frying pan. What you didn't notice is that it's a meat frying pan. And then you start cutting onto it, butter or cheese or whatever. And then you realize, wait a second, that's my meat pan. So I take a block of cheese, I put it down on the frying pan that's boiling hot. So then I assume that the meat gave flavor into the cheese gave flavor into the frying pan, and they're both prohibited. What happens if I took a big cheese and I put it on the frying pan? That's going to be a very far out case, right? That you have 60 times the volume of the pan and the cheese. But okay, so then we say it got dissipated. You'd only have to take off 2 centimeters where it touched the vessel. But obviously the vessel absorbed from the cheese. Now, I have a meat pot. I want to boil milk. I want to make a cappuccino at home, right? By mistake, I took the meat pot. So first thing you have to know is, how'd that mistake happen? The mistake happened because you didn't label your meat pots properly. You have to make sure that there's a good label. People take nail polish, red nail polish, and they put it on the handles of the meat pot. In yeshivas, we take red spray paint and we paint on the sides of the pot and on the handles and on the lid. That's another thing that people do often. They take the wrong lid, they put on the pot by mistake when it's boiling hot, and then they have to kosher the lid. So you should label the handles of the lids. The lid should be labeled, what's dairy and what's meat and what's parv. People sometimes say, I won't label it if it's parv. Yeah, well, labels wear off. So when it's not labeled, sometimes you might ask yourself, is that a label that wore off, or is that really parv? It's a good idea that parv gets labeled white or yellow, meat gets labeled red, dairy gets labeled blue. These are the colors that many places use. It's easy to remember. Things should be labeled. Things should be labeled. Okay, so the next scenario where you poured cold milk into a boiling hot meat pot, clean pot, right? So the meat, the milk absorbed the flavor of the meat. The milk is not kosher, unless you have 60 times the volume. But the meat pad also absorbed from the milk. Remember, all of this is speaking about a pot that was used in the last 24 hours, right? If it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, so then the milk doesn't become prohibited because it gives bad flavor. That we discussed already earlier. Okay. The pot will always have to be kosher because my meat pot that absorbed milk will have to be kosher. That's obvious. Okay, so today we learned about the lower one giving flavor into the upper one, even when it is a hot dish, not only when it's hot food. If I have a hot frying pan and I put in cold milk or a cold piece of cheese, my assumption is that being that the pan, the lower one, was boiling hot, it affected the cheese on top. It gave flavor, it absorbed flavor. Tato gavar. My assumption is the lower one wins, the one on bottom wins. Now what will happen when I pour in boiling liquids, that we're still going to discuss. Can I pour in from my tea kettle, that's parv, into my chont pot that has meat? We're still going to get there, but we're not yet up to there. Okay, so what we discussed so far is the idea that the lower one affects the upper one. Okay.